to lesson number 10 in our series on Bible prophecy. Did you ever notice that the close of the Old Testament and the close of the New Testament both bring before us the coming again of our Lord and Savior, but in different aspects? Did you ever notice that in Malachi chapter 4, that's the last chapter of the Old Testament, that the second coming of Jesus is likened to the rising of the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings? But the last chapter of the Revelation presents the second coming of Christ as the bright and morning star. These two similes, I think, represent the two aspects of our Lord's return. First of all, he's going to come for his church in the role of the bright and morning star, which arises just before daybreak. And this, of course, will be followed by the appearance of the glorious Son of Righteousness, that second aspect of our Lord's return. Now, today's lesson brings us to this happy event, the arising of the great Son of Righteousness, after the long night of earth's tribulation. The lesson text points out that this aspect of our Lord's second advent is common to both testaments, and is that view of it that is spotlighted and emphasized in prophecy. I think this is very important. Let me repeat that. The fact that Jesus Christ is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in spectacular glory, visible to all, is a truth that is common to both testaments. Now let us just turn, shall we, to a couple of examples of what I'm saying. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, we read these words, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." This is confirmed by Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west." And the end of verse 5 says, "And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." This is confirmed furthermore in greater detail by our Lord's own prophecy in Matthew 24, verses 27, and the following verses. "Said he, For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Furthermore, the Lord confirmed this announcement when he stood on trial before Caiaphas the high priest. Under oath, according to Matthew 26:64, Jesus saith unto them, "Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." And if I may add, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, we have these final words, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." No wonder the poet wrote in joy, "Arabia's desert ranger, to him shall bow the knee. The Ethiopian stranger, his glory come to see. With offerings of devotion, ships from the isles shall meet, to pour the wealth of ocean in tribute at his feet. Kings shall fall down before him, and gold and incense bring. All nations shall adore him, his praise all people sing. For he shall have dominion o'er river, sea, and shore, far as the eagle's pinion or dove's light wing can soar. And so we're thinking in lesson number 10 of the return of Earth's last and rightful monarch. We've noticed that the burden of the Old Testament prophets was a twofold burden. First of all, the sufferings of Christ, to be followed by the glory or the glories that should follow. And we're thinking of this latter movement in today's lesson. You will notice that we have raised three questions in connection with this aspect of our Lord's second advent. First, why must he appear? Second, when will he appear? And third and lastly, how will he appear? It's of the highest importance, then, as I've said before on such occasions, that we read carefully the scriptures that are indicated in the lesson. And I think that by meditating upon them, we shall see that our Lord's coming again is going to be visible, it's going to be sudden, for his foes it's going to be devastating, and for the redeemed remnant of persecuted Israel, it will mean their deliverance. For the world at large, however, it will mean catastrophic destruction and judgment. The story is told how that in a certain city, a vacant plot of ground was purchased by a wealthy merchant. The merchant used that corner to display his goods, his manufactured goods, on a large electrically illuminated signboard. And so the months passed by, and day and night, that great billboard announced the particular product that the owner of the lot produced in his factories. The boys who lived in the neighborhood, however, used that lot as a sort of a playground, where they played their games there, football matches and so on. They even erected flimsy huts of sticks and old canvas. They held picnic parties there, and sometimes even lighted bonfires and cooked odds and ends of fish on their fires. Well, this went on for quite some time. And the owner of the ground was very tolerant toward the boys. He didn't interfere with them at all. However, on one day, the owner of the property appeared, along with a couple of policemen, and announced to the crestfallen boys that they would have to pull down their shacks, remove their rubbish, and move off the corner. But the boys were quite indignant. They protested. They regarded it as being a depriving of their long-established rights. They sort of laid claim to that lot by squatters' rights. They had played there for a long time, and no one had ever bothered them. But, said the man, the boys, I'm afraid I must tell you that I own this property, and you must remove all this rubbish, because we're going to take down this billboard and erect on this lot a large, modern building. And so, rather sullenly, the boys were compelled to remove their rubbish, and, in due course, the modern building was erected. You know, 1900 years ago, the owner of this earth came down, and he purchased it with his own precious blood upon the cross. For the past 2,000 years, however, he hasn't made too much use of his property, excepting to commend his love toward us and to proclaim his gospel message, his product, as it were. But by and by, The proprietor of the earth is going to personally return. He's going to come, and he's going to lay claim to the earth, which he purchased at his cross. And he is going to establish on it his own rightful authority, and he is going to establish his kingdom, where the will of God will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Now, the second coming of our Lord in this public way is likened in Scripture to the flash of the lightning, to the coming of a thief in the night, and also as the return of a king judge. Do you remember in the 24th chapter of Matthew, verse 27, Jesus said that his coming would be like the lightning that cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west? Said he, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be sudden, it will be public, it will be frightening. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says in verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Our Lord's coming will be with the suddenness and the unexpectedness of the thief. And then in Revelation chapter 19, from verse 11 on, we have the details of our Lord's return as the righteous judge, as the warrior king, who is going to come and destroy his enemies and take his great power and reign. The book of the Revelation is filled with this glorious aspect of the irresistible conqueror who shall come back to earth, not this time to die, but this time to reign. For God has ordained that Jesus Christ, his Son, will be glorified not only in heaven where he is enthroned today, but he will be glorified in the very scene where he was cruelly repudiated and crucified by wicked hands. So our Lord is coming back again. He's going to establish his authority. His church will be with him in that day, for it is written in Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to look at the glorious kingdom that will be established when he returns. In the meantime, let us address ourselves to examination number 10, and then we'll be ready for our next lesson. This is the Ernest Tatum saying in the language of Paul, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things.